Hi, welcome to episode 10 of our Shoe Speak HR podcast. I've got the two Amys with me together again today. Last time out, we discussed some of the practicalities of returning to work post-COVID? Well, wherever we are, we discussed some of the practicalities in terms of whether the vaccines and testing can be compulsory for the workforce and what to do in terms of vaccination status. On that note, these guys will be too young, but I had my vaccine last week and felt all good. So I'm semi-vaccinated. Today we're going to look at some of the mental health issues that are inevitably associated with returning to work. Returning to work, you know, kind of after, in the middle of a pandemic. We saw last week the penultimate lifting of the government's restrictions on their roadmap. Obviously, question marks as to whether we're going to get to the final step on the 21st of June, but we are tentatively returning back to normal life. So, Amys, have you done anything interesting since those restrictions were lifted?
Since the restrictions are lifted, I've been out for dinner. The excitement of going out for dinner and not having to sit with a goose down fill coat on in the outdoors was actually quite a nice experience last week. So yeah, that's about as exciting as it gets.
I guess you being based in Manchester as well, Amy, that's delightful, and being able to avoid the rain.
Absolutely delightful. The key criteria of going out for lunch before last Monday was we can sit outside, but is there a roof?
similar for me, really. Lots of enjoying food again now the restaurants are back open, and also because I recently moved house, it's been nice this weekend to finally have people properly over to see it and come inside. So yeah, no, it's been really good.
Nice. Yeah, and you know, inevitably, we've talked about restaurants, we've talked about cinemas, there's football matches started happening this week, and obviously lots of people are now returning to work. Some will have been on furlough for a long time. Others, I guess, may have witnessed restructures and redundancies. Others may be starting completely new jobs, having lost theirs. So I think regardless of which category the employees fall into, they're in uncertain times, you know, because humans, I guess, don't like uncertainty. We are creatures of habit, whether we like it or not. So I think, you know, inevitably, the returning to work from whatever status you've been, and it may be just returning to working from the office a bit more again, you know, kind of something a bit different to what we've all been used to for the last 12 months, will create uncertainty, anxiety in the mind. So, you know, kind of it's something that businesses and employees need to be aware of, you know, because I don't think that uncertainty is going to go anywhere. You know, the media coverage of various variants, you know, kind of means that we're all still a little bit wondering what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. So, Amy Anderson, do you want to, I guess, give us an employee viewpoint on returning to work?
Yeah, I can do. I think you're right. I think there is a lot of uncertainty. I think as we're approaching mid-June and the further lifting of restrictions, it is a daunting time, because it's uncertainty not only about people that are either returning from furlough, if they've been on furlough for a significant period, or if they're returning to the workplace, if they've been working from home. It's uncertainty about what is going to happen when they do actively return to work. But it's also, like you just said, uncertainty about what's going on with the pandemic generally. We're all hoping that mid-June we'll see the further lifting of restrictions, but you just have to turn on the news, like you said, Andy, with the different variants, etc. Actually, there is unfortunately potential for that all to be thrown back up in the air. And as you've also said, we're all creatures of habit. We don't like uncertainty. So it is quite an anxious time for a lot of people. I think there also isn't, whilst we've all been sharing the experience of the pandemic over the last year, I think actually people's individual experience have been quite different. So there isn't a shared kind of employee viewpoint. Some people will have been on furlough for a significant period. Some people will have been working from home, but actively working throughout. Other people will have been going into work because of the nature of their job throughout the last 12 months. Other people will have picked up childcare when we've been in kind of full on lockdown and schools have closed. So I think there's all these different factors which have kind of shaped how people view the last 12 months.
Are you seeing, Amy, lots more flexible working requests come in as well?
I've not seen so many flexible working requests, but we did do a webinar last week. So I did this with a couple of the other partners in the wider team. So Stuart and Emma and I did it, and shameless plug, it is available on the Shoesmiths website. But we did some polls as part of that webinar, and actually one of the main concerns amongst the HR professionals that were logged on were about how to manage employee expectations with regards to flexibility. And I think whatever happens going forward, people have become accustomed to a new kind of COVID lifestyle, whether that be working from home, different hours, etc. And there are going to be parts of that lifestyle that people do want to keep when things start to change and go back to normal, whatever that may be. And so I think there is going to be an expectation on a lot of employees' part that their employer does need to accommodate some of that. So whilst I've not seen a particular increase yet, shall I say, in flexible working requests, I think it potentially is on the horizon, or if not specific flexible working requests at this stage, in terms of the return into work discussions and how things are going to pan out going forward, I do think there is going to be an expectation on employees' part that there is greater flexibility there where possible. Because I think you can see the arguments from an employee's perspective. If they've been working from home and feel that they've been doing so successfully for the last 12 to 18 months, and it allows them to fit in kind of family responsibilities and other things that they may want to be doing during their working day, whether that be popping washing on, etc. I think there is going to be an expectation, and part of the return to work discussions are going to be about how employers are going to accommodate that going forward. And I can see it is going to be difficult in some situations for employers to accommodate the amount of flexibility that I think employees are going to want.
I guess on that note, Amy L, what's your view from the employer's point of view?
Yes, I think a lot from the employer's point of view will probably echo the majority of what Amy just said from the employee point of view. I think employers are going to be battling right now, probably between sort of looking after their workforce and what they need to and should be doing for their workforce's mental and possibly physical health, depending on the industry, but also on looking after the business, the company that it may have been financially impacted significantly. They may have had to make restructures and make redundancies. So businesses are probably looking a lot different to what they did 12 months ago or just over 12 months ago. So I think employers are going to sort of have a lot of crossed priorities going on at the moment, which will flow down to kind of the senior leaders and managers to manage and deal with. I think one of the things that employers may find themselves faced with, and Amy touched on this, is potentially a divide or between, say, those employees that have worked constantly throughout the pandemic because their role necessitated a need for them to do so to keep the business running, or they worked in a particular industry where they were allowed to still operate during COVID times, obviously in a secure way. But then you've equally got potentially groups within businesses, groups of the workforce that have been on furlough for maybe nearly 12 months or slightly close to that, and potentially trying to integrate those two groups back together is going to give employers a bit of a challenge. They're going to have to consider needs of both groups, and with the groups, both of them played a vital role, but different roles. And there'll probably be, again, as Amy said, different needs for different employees. I think it's really important that employers recognise that there isn't a one size fits all, especially when it comes to employee mental health. Just because something works for one individual or one group doesn't necessarily mean it will work for another. And I think employers, that's quite overwhelming to think of it that way. And it feels like a big task. I think one thing going forwards, if employers are, I suppose, looking at what they can do or how they can manage this differing of, I suppose, views and needs of the workforce, is taking on board what the employees are saying to them. They might have trade unions as part of the workforce that are representing, speak to them, or it might be that employees are actually coming forward to the employers and saying, look, this is what we want, or this is what this particular group is after. So I suppose from an employer viewpoint, it would be taking that on board and listening to what the employees are saying, and trying to work out and understand if there's a way that the business can, I suppose, accommodate flexible requests or how the business can be more flexible, because ultimately the flexibility will help balance employee mental health. And I think a lot of employees over the past 12 months have had to battle with work and home life becoming blurred, especially with homeschooling, working from home, if that's been the case for some employees, or having to go out into the workplace and work, but in a new way, and you're not allowed to stand near your colleagues anymore or sit near them or talk to them. So I think employers just need to be really mindful of that, and just kind of, it's potentially almost sort of trial and error with things, but just being communicating with the workforce and just being really, really mindful that one thing may not work for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely agree, Amy. You know, and flexibility, that it's a word that's been mentioned by both of you, and I think flexibility, you know, a new way of working, you know, again, we go back to these changes, people don't like changes, and how's flexibility going to work? Well, for a business, you need, if you're going to be flexible, you need proper flexibility. You can't just have a new normal where everybody wants to work from home on a Monday and a Friday, and nobody wants to work from the office on those days, and everybody floods in on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So it's how that's going to work. And like you say, that the trial and error, the fact that no one size fits all, as a general rule of thumb in terms of mental health, it is something that businesses need to be alive to, you know, and consider, I guess, training. We all do lots of online training these days, and kind of have previously done physical training. I'm sure we'll go back to that, but do we need to look at it? What do we need to offer? You know, historically it's things like Equality Act and making sure that people don't harass or anything like that, but do we also need to look at people's mental health, resilience, that kind of training? I know there's organisations out there, charities such as Mind, that, you know, offer those kind of training sessions to individuals, and it's perhaps something that employers may need to look at and budget for going forward. So yeah, absolutely a time of change. You know, kind of lots will be for the good, there may be some things for the bad, and it's a case of managers, businesses being on top of that and making sure that, you know, kind of individuals aren't suffering, and certainly aren't suffering in silence. So on that point, I guess to go to our three top tips that we would take away. What would we say, guys? I'll save mine till last.
I'll go with mine. Again, we come back to the same top tips every time. I'm sure we've said this at least 50% of the podcasts. But anyway, communication as ever is definitely key with this. I think Amy's touched upon it in a bit of detail from the practical steps that employers can take. But I think it's really going back to basics and thinking how best to communicate with your employees in these situations. There will absolutely be information that your employees and your workers need to know when they're returning to work, either from furlough or to the workplace if they've been working from home. But I think it may sound a really basic thing, but actually thinking, well, how best do we communicate with people with that? Like not sending 10 emails, which will be quite overwhelming when people are coming back to work or experiencing something new. So can we send one email that summarizes everything they need to know, rather than bombarding them with information in a piecemeal way? Can we have a structured return to the workplace or return to work meeting where we can have kind of a conversation about concerns, they can ask, employees can ask questions, etc. And I think overall it's just keeping the communication channels open so that if people do have concerns when they are either returning to work from furlough or returning to the workplace as things start to open up, that, that they know where to go and where to who to turn to with those concerns, so people aren't suffering in silence.
I would say my top tip probably would be in relation to what resources employers may already have. And I suppose actually what resources employers could look to have. So I would say employers should maybe do a bit of a stock check on what resources relating to employee mental health and wellbeing and initiatives they've already got in-house, maybe some that have been put on standby because of COVID, can they be reintroduced? Do they need to be changed to accommodate kind of the needs of the workforce now, or the varying needs, I should say? And maybe have a look further afield. Is there anything out there? What other organisations are doing? Would that work for you? So I think just a bit of a review piece, really, of what you've already got in place. Is it working? Is it not? And is there anything else you can do? I suppose just to put that into context, some ideas might be if you've got an EAP, so an employee assistance programme in place that employees can use. If you've got it, but employees are not maybe using it, is it advertised well enough within the organisation? Do you need to just reshare the details? And other organisations also look to have like mental health and wellbeing champions or mental health first aiders. Again, do you have kind of a group of people within your organisation who just need kind of showcasing again a little bit and letting people know that they're there? So just have a bit of a recap of what you do have already and whether you've got any gaps there.
Yeah, agree with both of those guys. And I guess third one from me in terms of just recognizing that the managers are humans as well. They're in an uncertain period of time, you know, but yet people are going to come to them wanting the answers and they may not have them. So I guess make sure your managers are trained, make sure they understand what's happening, what's required of them so that that message can be cascaded down. You know, kind of communication at this time, you know, at every stage, but more so now, is important, and that's kind of no different. You know, if somebody had been absent from work for a period of time, there would be a return to work interview. You know, if somebody's been absent on furlough, then absolutely, this take the chance, sit down, have a conversation, have that return to work interview. It's not necessarily because of an illness, so you might not have to go through the full process, but still have it, start that conversation, ensure one-to-ones are happening. You know, and actually for a manager, if you don't know the answer to a question, then actually saying that and saying, good question, I'll go and find out, or accepting that actually, you know, kind of we're not fully certain how this is going to go over the next 12 months, because we can't be. Even that reassures members of staff that actually, you know, kind of we are in this together and we're working, let's keep talking. So yeah, that'd be my key point to take away. Make sure the managers who are at the coalface are kind of comfortable in their own skin in terms of the message they're having to give. So that will wrap up today's session. So hopefully people have found that helpful in terms of just thinking about what impact the return to work will have on people's mental health, because it will. There's no doubt about that. So if anybody has any queries, as ever, feel free to get in touch, shoespeakhr@shoesmiths.co.uk. I'm sure Amy will be very pleased to share a link to the webinar that she shamelessly plugged. And if anybody else has any other queries, do get in touch.
Thanks all.
Cheers.